Tower, DJC.
KG4LSL. Good afternoon, Jerry. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Jimmy. How are you doing today? Pretty warm outside.
It's just hot outside. We came in and I am now sitting under the ceiling fan with the air conditioner at 73 degrees and sitting here working a little PSK31. Finally got FL Digi to work for me. Ended up having to put a control software, the FL rig, on there. Who knew? Got to playing around with it last night. Took a couple hours, but finally got it to work.
All this interconnectivity between radios and software programs, it's really it can get bundled up in a hurry as far as what works and what doesn't work and how to connect it up and sound cards and all kinds of things. It's just gets more complex. It seems it gets more the simpler you try to make it, the more complex it gets.
I still have an old boat anchor radio. It's a Tentec Omni D, and it's actually over in Georgia at a good friend of mine's house. I kind of loaned it to him, and he's going to do a little work on it. I had one of the band selector knob froze up on it, so he was going to work on it if I could let him use it. So I'm going to let him use it, and we'll go from there with it. But I still like the old stuff, and I'm kind of enjoying the new stuff, too. It kind of gives me something to do.
I tell you, that Tentec stuff, I had a Tentec QRP rig, a 509, years ago, back in the late 70s, and Tentec made some good rigs. They had that full CW break-in for CW operators, and the receivers were always really good on those radios. The Omni's a good radio. It still is. It just didn't have all the bells and whistles of the new ones. But as far as, just a regular radio, that Omni was, it was a great radio they built. Shame that they're not doing anything right now. It changed hands a couple of times. I'm not sure if, I think I read somewhere somebody at Dayton said that somebody was trying to resurrect it, but, they just can't seem to get the people together to do it. But Tentec was a great line of, radios. They got to be with the ones, especially the Omni. The Omni was a pretty expensive radio at this time as well.
And it's, good old American made. And I tell you, if Tentec was to come back up into business and still be made in Sevierville, Tennessee, I would definitely look at one of those radios other than, before I looked at the ASUS or the ICOMs or what have you, just because it's made here in America. And, if you have a problem with it, you don't have to ship it on a boat overseas and wait 6 months before they even look at it. So it's just a lot better all around. The Omni that I've got actually came with the matching power supply that went with them. And I've got a Dentron Super Tuner Plus roller tuner that came with the radio, too. And the old Turner 2 mic. I just love that radio. It was my first HF rig. I've talked all over the place on it.
Good deal. Say then, that Dentron is a great tuner. That was pretty much top of the line in the day. They still work just as well now. I guess you just have to keep the caps up on them and recap it when necessary. But, Jimmy, there's a guy here in Anderson. I can't remember his call now. First name is Bill. And he loves Tentec stuff. He rebuilds. I don't know what he's doing now. He's in his 80s, I think. But N5 CSA, the Roger, who's on the Anderson repeater, and on this one occasionally, too. He and Roger are good friends. We used to talk on Simplex pretty often. Bill was located somewhere over there near the airport, I think, if I remember correctly. And I want to say it was, I can't remember his call. I don't goof up his call, but he could fix the tuners in them and, you know, restring the ones that had the slide tuning, you know, with the strings and all that sort of thing. And he's pretty much one of the few guys I knew of locally that could work on them. But now that group out in, I know you're familiar with Claremont Skyline. They do work on just about anything. They do pretty good work on everything they touch.
Claremont have not sent anything to them, but I have been in contact with them, talking to them about this, the old FT-100 that I've got sitting here in a box. I've got an HR-2510, if you remember those. The President HR-2510 radios. I've got one of those that's kind of messed up and needs some attention. And I've been thinking about having Claremont do the Mars mod on my FT-450. But, you know, I haven't really been doing any serious thinking about it. I haven't even pulled the protective film off of the faceplate of this FT-450.
It's a good radio. There are several guys in the area that have them. I remember seeing that radio when it was right after it was introduced at Hamvention, I guess. The Kentwood people used to, they used to have a booth, and so did ICOM in Stone Mountain. And of course, you know, I've spoken before, my brother-in-law lives in Duluth, we'd always go to Stone Mountain. And I remember seeing that 450 at Stone Mountain. I just fell in love with that radio, but I really didn't have use for an HF, and I really don't have use for one now either, but that 450 is a really good radio. It's always been good, plus it's pretty durable from what I understand. It's just, it's been around a long time. But the build quality of it, and the way the radio was laid out was good. I think the menu system was a little in-depth in some cases, but other than that, I just remember it being, when I saw it, I said, man, I'd love to have one of those.
It's a real clean radio, and it is. It is very user-friendly. The menus, once you get into playing with the menus, it's not terrible. There is a secret menu that you can go into. I don't mess with any of that. I bought this radio right after I became disabled. Bought it, the SCU-17 sound card interface, or computer interface that goes with it, and LDG YT-1200 auto tuner. And, I bought it as a bundle. And the 450 was the first brand new HF radio I'd ever bought. And so I was really, really pleased with it. I've put the MFJ-297 desktop mic on with it, and, great signal reports everywhere, good clean audio, good clean signals. So, yeah, I can't complain one iota about it.
The ones I've heard on the air over the years, from years ago, they sound good on the air. The audio is good on them. They got good signals. And they were, when about the time when JC built those and they built a few other ones, of course, the stuff that JC builds now is really good stuff. It seems like every time they introduce a radio, they take features away from it for some reason. I'm not sure why they do that. And of course, they leave them on their high-end rigs, but I just noticed, not long ago, looking at some of JC Mobiles and HTs, that some of the older ones were better than some of the, I think they were better than some of the new ones were. I guess the only thing was that the APRS functions on some of the new ones are probably better, but some of the old ones were just as good. They lacked some of the features, but people knew what they were getting. The audio was good on the old ones, I think, than the newer ones did. I had an FT-5 that I've had, and the audio on that thing the transmit audio, it was good, but it sounded awful on receive audio, and it was because it's that, it's got the IP7 waterproof rating on it, but it didn't sound near as good as I do, as the Icon 52 does.
identification and preservation purposes, and keep the federal cookie cutters happy. Yeah, I've got this, the radio I'm talking on right now is an FTM-3100 VHF, and I've been real happy with it. It's got a little bit higher of a power than, I think it's an 80-watt radio, and than some of the older stuff that I have. I tell you, the first VHF radio I ever had was the HTX-212 in 2-meter mobile. I bought it 2 days after I got my my license. I think I paid $90 for it from a ham up in Atlanta for the radio and a little mag mount antenna. And I just, you know, I took that thing everywhere. It's still sitting there over here in a box. And every once in a while, I'll hook it up and make sure, you know, just turn it on and make sure the caps aren't blown out of it. But, yeah, I'm kind of a fan of some of the older Yaesu stuff. Like I said, I've got an FT-100 here. So, and it always treated me very well. So when I went to looking for a budget-friendly HF rig that had 6 meters in it, that 450D came up, so I hit the order button.
It works. I mean, there are a lot of them out there. I mean, they built that radio for a good while, too. They, now they're coming out with new radios, you know, every year, or even more often than that now, which is, I guess it's got something to do maybe with the component situation, but it's kind of odd. But, you know, the Kenwood ain't come out with anything new in several years now, I don't guess. Probably 5 or 6. But I'm not sure what they're going to do. They may stay in the business or not, who knows. But I ran the A2 equipment for years. And I got ICOM stuff now just because I don't have to go through all the weird stuff to update the firmware, and I can just pull the SD card out of it and upgrade the firmware on the SD card, put it back in the radio, and have it update. And same thing with the memory system. I could actually just do it and update it on a Mac. You don't even have to have a PC for it.
Yeah, I like ICOM stuff. I had a 706 Mark II. No, I didn't have the Mark II. I had the 706. And I think I paid $200 for that radio on eBay back probably 15, 20 years ago. And was really, really excited about it. And, you know, I don't even remember what happened with that radio. But, yeah, ICOM has always put out some good stuff. The 21 or the 28, was it the 2800? IC2800H? Was a phenomenal 2-meter radio, and that one was almost bulletproof until it wasn't. But, I mean, it was a good high-powered radio, good clean audio, and very affordable.
Still make the 2300H, which maybe, I'm not sure if that's what one you're talking about, a nice single band 2-meter rig, and it doesn't have a fan in it, it's just all heat sink. It's really durable. They've come out with another rig, though, that's supposed to have been like their 8,000, but it's not really. It's just it looks like it's kind of a repackaged 2300, 65 watts. But instead of having the, it's got like an LCD type screen, like the newer Yaesu stuff has. Just monochrome, though, it's not a cover. But I don't know whether it's going to be a replacement for it or what, but it looks almost identical to it. But it's got a little bit bigger display and that sort of thing. But the controls, as far as, you know, how you do the memory system and that sort of thing, they look identical to me.
That's the one thing that turned me on to the Yaesus was that they had fans built into them. And, you know, I know that these radios can get hotter than the blazes when you're, you know, talking a lot. And, you know, I think sometimes I have spring-loaded jaws because I'll just sit there and yak your ear off for hours on end. And so I really wanted to keep them cool and the computer or electronic-wise. So, you know, that's another thing. But it's kind of cool that they're still making the 2300. Yes, that is the radio. And, yeah, they were all phenomenal radios. I remember when they first came out, and I had a few of my friends bought them, and they were just good, clean radios.
I think the first one that series might have been a 2100, but I'm not sure if that's right or not. Maybe think about a different series of radio. But, and I had a 2300, just sold it a few months ago, as a matter of fact, because when I got the same thing, when we started talking, I mean, that thing would get hot, so hot you couldn't touch it. And, you know, that's the way a heat sink's supposed to be, but it didn't have a fan on it. And I looked at a 2370, I think, what it is, a dual band. iCompass got the detachable faceplate on it, but the odd thing about it, Jimmy, is they don't sell it with a mobile mount. They don't sell it with anything to attach the faceplate. And, you know, the radio is about, I'd say it's about $300, but then you got to pay another $55 for the mobile mount bracket, which whether you use it as a base or mobile, you probably need to have that. And you have to pay an additional thing, additional amount to work with the faceplate. You also have to pay an additional amount for the accessories so you can mount the faceplate to the radio. So instead of costing you $300, the thing wound up cost you over $400 for the same radio that other makers sell for $300 or so. It's crazy.
Absolutely stupid. If you've got customers that are loyal customers and they, you know, they're buying your products, give them the stuff that they need to use that product out of the box. I think $150 for this this Yaesu 3100. And it came with the mobile mounting bracket, the power cord, the microphone, I mean, everything. It doesn't have a detachable face on it or anything else, but it came with the stuff that I needed to be able to pull it out of the box, hook it up to the power supply or in the mobile, and, you know, the mounting bracket and everything else. That's just, eh. I understand you got to make money, but, you know, what does it cost to... if you're going to pay $300 for a 2 meter or a 2 meter 440 radio, you need to throw in the added stuff with it that goes with it.
So I'm not sure what the thinking was behind them when they did that, but it's the same. I was the same way. The 5100 is the same way, and that's their top of the line dual band mobile now, DSR mobile. It's the same way, but one of the guys that's on this repeater, David, he runs a 2730 in his Mustang, and he just has it sitting on the floor and it's got the faceplate attached. And maybe they thought that's the way people were going to do it. It's got a fan in it, they do. Yaesu still makes, I can't remember which one it is now. Maybe the same model that you got or one similar to it, but they make one that's got a front-facing speaker that's a monoband, and it's about $150, I think, and it's got a bracket with it, but it doesn't, the faceplate doesn't detach. But it's got all the stuff with it. All the Yaesus come with all that extra mounting equipment with them, which is, you know, but you got to, in other words, you got to have an order for to attach the faceplate to 2730 to maybe, I don't know about 4100, but on the 50, you have to pay an additional about $40 or $50 just to be able to attach the faceplate to the radio, which is just, that's totally out of sync with what everybody else does. And they're not, and when you add all that stuff together, it's going to cost probably close to $100, you know, $80 to $100 more than a comparable Yaesu.
Radio that I've got. It's a forward-facing speaker, which I really love because, you know, my old ears aren't always the best, and too many playing in the band and having all the amps cranked up, and, of course, being in the back of the band, you got my drums and the cymbals and everything else. It just takes a toll. But that forward-facing speaker is just phenomenal. I absolutely just love this radio. And yeah, it came with everything and a fan. I just put my hand back here on the fan and it's running just as fast as it can.
Thinking about picking up another just a 2 meter to use at home instead of 705 or even sticking that in the garage. So I've just got a fan that runs a little more power. And I looked around and really the AZ, I tried the AZ200 out and I did not like it. It had a serious hum in the speaker, even inside, you could hear it. And it's got a, when you switch it over to 440, you can hear it's got a, it sounds like a ker-chunk every time you key it up. It's got some relay in it, it switches. It's just, in a car, you probably wouldn't notice it, but at home, it was not too, noisy. You could hear it every time. It's just annoying. So I sent that thing back. I didn't like it at all, so I may try the 3100. Like I said, I don't want another 2300H. The other single band that HiCom makes doesn't have a fan either. It's just a heat sink too.
For the money, you can't beat the radio, and I was wrong. It's a 65-watt radio, but, you know, it's a great radio. It's very small. You know, if it didn't have the forward-facing speaker, I think it would be, you know, almost the size of a postcard, maybe a little smaller than that. But, you know, very compact, very light, very easy to use. You know, and like I said, you would not be disappointed in the radio if you picked one up. I mean, you know, like I said, it's $149. You can even get them on Amazon. KG4LSL.
Steve Friday. Yeah. Yeah, I looked at them. I looked at them pretty strongly, too. I don't do that. The only thing I do on 440 is on my 705 for, well, you know, satellite stuff, I have to have one kilohertz increments to be able to do that, and I use my 705 for that, but I don't use 440 for anything other than maybe working into my hotspot or something like that. That's on D-Star, so it's another thing that they really need to have. I just need to get something else. The 2300 was a good rate. It had a good rate on the air. The audio was good, but I think I'd prefer the front-facing speaker. And Kenwood, the one Kenwood makes, you can't find it anymore. It's gone. It's gone from the, you know, I guess they quit making that one too. So really, the Yeezy is the only thing left that's got a front-facing speaker. It looks more like a commercial rig.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Kenwood either. That's and it's really sad to see. They put out some phenomenal radios too. Is there much of a 2 meter sideband presence around here? My FT100 is a 2 meter, 6 meter HF, and it has, you know, upper and lower sidebands and what have you for 2 meters, and it's had the Mars mod on it, so you can do 440 and 220 for that matter. So it's a great general coverage radio. It's just, you know, it's showing its age. It's been in my truck. It was in my truck traveling this country for many, many years following oversized loads. And, I mean, that radio has been everywhere with me. So I'm going to kind of put it up here on a shelf and hook everything up. And it won't go mobile again unless it's, you know, absolutely necessary.
No sideband activity. They have a net that's on Thursday nights. I believe it's 7 o'clock. It's usually called on 144-200 or 210, somewhere in that area. And a Gainesville calls the net. I think he's in Gainesville. I may be wrong. 100-foot tower, and he's got like a 22-element Chris-Craft boomer up 100 feet, and he runs a kilowatt. And of course, I can hear him, and he can hear me. But you know, since my antenna's inside, it's pretty much a waste of time. But if you could get up a, you know, say a 11 or 12 element beam up, yeah, it'd be fun to do. But you know, you got to have some. It just depends on your height above terrain, you know, where you are, and that sort of thing. But 2 meters have been open recently off and on. I hear some people occasionally, but there's just so little activity on the sideband. The sideband was real popular back in the early 80s. I worked a lot of 2 meter sideband all up and down the East Coast. I lived up near Charlotte. But I haven't heard. You can hear somebody on there once in a while. Like I said, there may be a couple of nets around, but you really have to have a good antenna up at a reasonable tower. And you got to be running probably 80 or 100 watts to be able to get into some of these guys as it is. But they have check-ins. That guy, he has check-ins from Kentucky and all over the southeast. But again, these guys are running, a lot of them are running near 500 to a kilowatt and running high tower, real tall towers with 20 element beams and that sort of thing.
Interested in it. I think it would be kind of cool if we could get a kind of a group of guys around here and ladies. I'm not choosy. Just kind of something to do. I've got a copper J pole that was built probably 15 years ago that was given to me up at about 40 feet. My telescopic mast is about 40 feet tall. That's the height of my antenna, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I am kind of on a little hilltop here in Centerville, so, I don't think I've got too much of a problem with line of sight, which is excellent. I've always been curious about that. I have never made a 2 meter sideband contact, ever.
I don't know, hundreds of them over there earlier in the 80s, but on up into Maryland and Delaware and all the way down into Florida from Rock Hill. But at that time, though, I had a F9 FT 9 element. I was running an ICOM 2 meter sideband rig, and I also had a preamp, mass-mounted preamp, and rotor and all that stuff, and I was sitting on top of an apartment complex and building my wife managed an apartment complex, and we were pretty high up. We were probably well over 1,000 feet up, average height, up terrain, something like that. And I had a good clear span of the sky, And I worked, like I said, I used to check into the net in Virginia multiple times and work up into Delaware and Virginia, Maryland, and South Carolina, of course, North Carolina, Georgia, and down into Florida a couple of times when there's that sporadic, when that tropo was open, but not very often. But there's a lot of sideband activity in Florida, a bunch of it because they're close to the ocean, there's more openings there. There's a lot of sideband activity in North Carolina because I suppose, Jimmy, because most of those guys are sitting on top of mountains and have got a good view of the horizon without having anything blocking them.
Well, I'm at, just check my elevation here, and I'm at 728 feet above sea level, and this map that I'm looking at is a 3D map, so, you can kind of zoom in and go to the side there and just check out the local layout of everything, and yeah, it seems, I think I'm just a touch above most everything else around me, so that will definitely help in my VHF ventures. So it's just something to do, and I gotta kind of keep busy, and it keeps me from going insane.
You're higher than I am. You're about S7 on the input, so even for me, and I don't even think I got my beam pointed, my indoor beam point in your direction either, but you're in F7 direct on the input, so you've got some height somewhere in there. Either we're closer to getting, we're not that far apart, but some of the guys are fairly close, but I can't hear them just because there's some obstruction in the way. But I don't have any problem. Like I said, you're S7, solid S7, and to be on the input here.
I've got you at a solid S3, and you're pretty well full quieting on the reverse. So from where I am to where you are is, I think I looked it up the other day, and it's somewhere around 3 to 5 miles as the crow flies.
Right, I won't say it's 3.5 or 4. I was on 25 watts. I'm running 10 now. So that might pick me up an S unit. Maybe, I don't know. I know if I had a regular mobile rig, I'd run 25. We'd be pretty solid, I'm sure.
About some of the background white noise, and I mean it was just a touch, but it quietened it all out. So I've got you at a full quieting S3 here, or 3 bars on the little meter here. I don't know how that one goes. I didn't really read that part of the manual. So if you're up in North Carolina, not sure where and what kind of radio you're on, if you can bump the power up just a touch, that may help with the picket fencing, I guess is what they call it. But, I mean, I heard something about the 2-meter sideband working better in the mountains, which is really kind of piquing my interest a little bit. Try that again if you're able to bump your power up. KG4LSL in the group.
I'm on a J pole. I just fit it up, so I may not have it pointed exactly the right way.
That was night and day. Go ahead.
Beam, that's probably even better. Hold on just a second.
Oh, you're full quiet and in your rig. You're shot dead solid as you were.
Well, I was just saying that I really like 2-meter sideband and 6-meter sideband too in the mountains, because I mean we might, if I'm kind of up on a hill, so I do well with FM, and you know I do well with either one, but FM's line of sight, whereas sideband is not. So in the mountains here, you can go around, you know, you can talk a long way with no repeater. In fact, you can really talk longer without a repeater a further distance, and not even with a beam. Like I have a squalo. It's like a square horizontal antenna, and I've talked from here in Hendersonville, north of Hendersonville, all the way up into Madison County, with just a SWAT, or I can't remember now which radio it was, KM4ESC.
Catch all your call. KO4 is all I got. That and name here is Jimmy, Juliet India, Mike Yankee, and we're here with N4 DJC Jerry over here. He's just down the street from me, and I'm new to the area, so I've got a copper J pole, 2-meter 440 J pole sitting up at about 40 feet. And that's about all I have. But, yeah, I love working simplex. I enjoy repeaters. But, you know, working simplex is a lot more fun to me. And making contacts, you know, in some of the not-so-friendly environments.
I like simplex, too. I used to have a simplex net for 2-meter. And then I started trying all these other bands. And now I'm more interested in sidebands. For, you know, local talking, but I haven't really met too many people, just probably by chance, that are that much into it. But where are you at in South Carolina? And it's Kilo Mike 4 Echo Foxtrot Tango, and my name's Shannon.
We're down here around the Centerville, Anderson area down near Lake Hartwell. That's about you're Jerry, I think, correct me if I am wrong, you're just a little north of the North Lake area, correct? N4DJC and the group KG4LSL, take it up.
Jimmy is just, he's a little bit south of me, Shannon, and I can see the lake. I can step out of my front porch to see Lake Hall, and I'm probably about 1.5 miles from Lake Hall. I think 1.5 miles from Interstate 85, just off Exit 19, like you're going to Clemson, South Carolina. That direction, that's where we're located. We're not within throwing distance. We're not too far apart. And we've got a lot of guys that check into this repeater from the Hendersonville area. As a matter of fact, I may have talked to you on, do you check into Mount Mitchell repeater very often?
I just got back on the radio, on the ham radio, last week. So I've called the 610 net before. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago for a while. I do get on Mitchell some, but I'm just getting back into it. But I have to use it to get into Mitchell right now. I don't have a rotor for it, but it is horizontal 2-meter beam. And maybe we could try talking on 2-meter sideband sometime.
Well, you've got my interest up. I'm sitting here looking at the box that my FT-100's in. So I guess I got to do some rearranging to the desk here and add more hardware up here.
That's a five-element beam. Mine is inside. Mine's not even outside. By the way, Jim, you're off the back of my beam, too. I don't even have it pointed at you. You're in opposite direction. I'm still getting you about a 7 on the L&S meter. But, sideband's a lot of fun when it works, but, I'm not out in the open, so it wouldn't work very well for me. But now, Jimmy's got he could probably get something up working pretty fast. And I also only have 10 watts, too. I don't have 25 or 50 or 100 watts like I used to have.
One of my radios that has more wattage, it's a mobile radio, and it keeps wanting to, the memory battery keeps not working. So I probably would just stick with the one that's 10 watts, but I don't know. I guess if conditions were good, it might work. I don't know. I haven't tried that. It's pretty far. I guess you're pretty far from me down there.
For some reason, QRZ still has me living in Atlanta, even though they changed my address, so... and that could be a Google Maps thing, or it could be my VPN. I don't know. What frequencies do you normally run on sideband there, Shannon?
I'll pick one out that I haven't been on there because I haven't really anybody talked to. But, anything around 144, not exactly on the call frequency, but say 144 or 210 or something like that, or... 215. When you say, they have got the FL's name, KM4EFT.
Yeah, I think 210's one. And also, Shannon, there's still a net. Guy in Gainesville, Georgia, is still calling a 2-meter sideband net. He usually calls us on 210 on Thursday nights about 7 or 8 o'clock, I think. And you might be able to hear him from Hendersonville since you're a lot higher than we are. I'm only at 700 feet above sea level. And Jimmy's in a little better location. You get a more open space. I'm probably around 670 to 700. Jimmy's a little taller, higher up, but he's got a better location because he didn't have any obstruction much around him. But you could probably check into that net on Thursday nights, even with 10 watts.
was one I used to check into a long time ago when I first got the beam up. So, did you check into that one?
Did a few times. I had a ICOM 9700, which runs 100 watts, but I don't have any more. I could check into it, you know, pretty well with running 100 watts, but with 10 watts, I couldn't get it there because my antenna's inside. I don't have an outside antenna. Even though it's horizontally pulverized, I could check into it, but I can't do it on 10 watts, so even horizontal on, from inside here.
Is that upper sideband or lower sideband?
That's upper.
Guys, I gotta jump real quick. I'm gonna go and make some spaghetti sauce so I can get some dinner going. I'll be right back. KG4LSL.
And Shannon, there's a guy over here in Walhalla, about 30 miles from us. He's got a 100-foot tower and a 22-element Cushcraft boomer and runs a kilowatt on his 2-meter sideband op, and he relays a lot of people in, but there's not much activity in this area. He's one that's active, and there are a couple of ones that just not many at all. You got a lot more activity in your area than we do down here.
So you think it really does matter about how high up you are? I'm at 2,200 feet. I can't remember if I said that or not before.
See, if you're 2,200 feet, you could work 10 watts easy. See, I'm at about 700, so I'm, you know, plus I got obstructions all around me, too. So you could get in there easy on 10 watts, I'm sure.
And again, so I can write it down.
Sure, it's N4DJC, November 4, Delta, Juliet, Charlie, and the name is Jerry. Juliet, Echo, Romeo Yankee. And I'm getting QRZ.
I don't really get on QRZ because I think you have to log into it to check something out, and that just, for me, it doesn't take too long. It used to be an app where you could just look it up real quick, you know, but they took that off of there, I think, unless I just spend a long time since I looked for one on just an app, you know. But, well, it's good talking to you, and it's nice to hear somebody talking about sideband. I was kind of wonder if I'm the only one, you know. Also like Simplex, but it's just that sideband seems to work better. It goes further. KM4 EFC.
And always, you know, you always got more distance out. It's also quieter, too. Horizontal antennas, the horizontally polarized, the band is a lot quieter than it is with using a vertically polarized antenna, like a FM beam or a FM vertical. The band quiet. I mean, you can see the dB just go down on the scope when you turn the antenna sideways. It gets a lot quieter. And it's good. It works great. It's of course 6 meters, but and that's, you know, when that band's open, it's open. That's when I always enjoyed up working years and years ago, but I don't have any. Well, this radio works 6, but I don't have a. There's no way in the world I could put up a 6-meter beam. You really got to have at least a 3 or 4 element beam on 6. Of course, you could work it on. You could work on a squalo probably, or on a 3-element beam real easy from your location. And it's going to be popping open again later on this year, I'm sure.
I've got to get something that's horizontal for that, because I just have a vertical still, just an FM vertical, but I have used that to talk. If the other person has a vertical, it works pretty well.
There's just not that many. There used to be a number of 6-meter repeaters, but there's, I don't think there's much of anything around that 6 and 10-meter repeaters back when I started out in the late 70s. There were 6 and 10-meter repeaters on, you know, most. Today, I usually had a 6 or a 10 or both of them, some of the clubs that had more money. Okay, I used to be able to talk on 6 meters with me in Mobile years ago. The guy got me started at ham radio. He was a big 6-meter fan. He had an 8 or a 10-element 6-meter beam up about 80 or 90 feet, and he ran an old Swan 6-meter rig. I think it ran about 400 watts. But back then, you know, the people were still on regular TV back then. They tear up Channel 3, WPTV in Charlotte. They tear up everybody's TV within 2 miles of us.
opened up that one circuit on it. It should still stay on a frequency, right?
I think so. But it was, I think it'd be fine here. Some place like it, it works good. But I haven't been on 6 meters in probably 30 years or more, I guess. But I tell you, back then, when it was open, you know, we could talk anywhere. It was easy to, I know several guys got DXCC on 6 meters.
I had a 6 meter FM radio in my truck for a while. And I talked to somebody in New York when I was in Fletcher, and that's a really flat place, and that was FM. It was clear as a bell, too. I really like 6 meter. I love the way it just suddenly opens up, and you're just talking to somebody really far away. It seemed like I made a lot of contacts in Texas, especially.
It used to be a hotbed for 6 meters. There's a lot of guys that ran 6 meters in Texas to you. Wouldn't you probably pick up somebody from Texas, but you're right that you could have one of those Aston rigs and some of that. I can't remember who else, several people made 6 meter mobiles. And they, even with mobile antenna, you could work a lot of people, and you didn't need any. You could run 10 or 15 watts, and that's all it took on 6.
I have a little 10 watt radio, and that's where I made most of my contacts here at the house. The one in the truck has got more, or the one I had in the truck has got more power, but I like the little one I have because it has 12 knobs. The other one has 12 knobs.
I guess they still make them. I hadn't seen a 6 meter mobile rig around in a long time. I know people, they'll probably start selling again now. That was as the sunspot gets a little better, they'll see more people interested in 6 meters.
I wanted a ham fest, like an old 6 meter. Like your, what would be good one?
At that time, I had another radio, and I'm in the background. Let me turn it down. I can hear you now. I was hearing some hash on the radio, but I'm not sure if it's on my end or not.
I'm wondering what radios, if you're going to look for one of those older ones, what kind would you look for, like in a ham fest?
One of those, if you find another Aston, if it works, it would be good. And like I said, there was, I can't remember the... I don't know if Kenwood made one back in those days, or yes, they did or not. They may have, but a lot of the 6 meter stuff. I mean, I think even President and some of the guys who made some of the CB rigs made some 6 and 10 meter mobile rigs too. I don't know if they ever made a 6 meter rig or not. I don't remember. I said it's been so long ago, my memory's not that good.
Thought about it that much.
There were a bunch of manufacturers of it back in the 70s, but when the bands went dead, people quit making them until they started adding 6 meters to some of these HF rigs. Now, I've got 6 meters on this radio, but it's only 10 watts, and I don't have 6 meter antenna either.
How much? Like, is it do sideband and FM?
Yeah, this is an Icom 705. It does VHF, UHF, 6 meters, and HF.
That's an Icom yet.
This is a new one. I just got back. I've been a ham for 43 years. I just got interested in it again about 3 or 4 years ago and bought a couple of radios. And so I've got this, and I got an Icom 52D handheld D-Star. I mostly work UHF and VHF and do some satellite work and work on D-Star too, and that's about it for me. I hadn't even been on HF since the late 80s, I guess.
With your situation, how would you do the antenna part?
What I got now is I've got a 5-element beam inside my upstairs bedroom, but... years ago, I was able to put something up on top of my roof, but now I don't know what I'd do. I could probably put a vertical up somewhere, but I couldn't put a beam up. I'm, I'm too old to be built to get on a tower and too old to climb it, so I won't be doing that. But more likely, I'd try vertical on 6 meters if I did anything.
And set up a 6 meter antenna?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably put up a 6 meter vertical. I could put up a beam, though.
Do like a fake flagpole or something, right?
Top of my house is probably close to 35 feet. I could probably put some on top of the house. I didn't want to put a beam up there. Then I gotta run the rotor and all that other stuff. And I'm not in a homeowners association, but really I'd have to get a vertical because I'm really not high enough. I'd have to put an 80 or 90 foot tower to be able to get up above the trees here. So vertical's got a little lower angle of radiation. Yes, it kind of goes out at a 45-degree angle, maybe a little lower than that, so if I could get it out in the open, I think we'd do okay, but a beam's not going to do a lot of good. I mean, I'd have to have it up really high in order for it to do any good for me.
I don't have a rotor. I'm stuck in the ground, so the two-meter beam that I have, but if I want to check into that net, I know which way to point it towards the tree in the front. The one of the trees in the front.
Towards Atlanta.
That's the same one I checked into a long time ago. So I know, I still remember that it's the tree in the first tree in the front.
That guy is, I don't remember his call sign there, but he is either in up near Gainesville or somewhere. He may be in Blue Ridge, Georgia. I'm not sure if he's up that far north or not. But if you point it kind of towards upper side of 285, towards upper side of 285, you ought to be able to hear him. And like I said, that guy from Westminster, the guy, what he does, he swings his beam around north and moves it about 15 degrees every time. If you'll listen, you'll probably be able to hear him from your elevation on 2 meter sideband. And that if not, that guy, this guy, Wahala, he could probably hear you as high up as his antenna is. But I think it's your elevation. I don't think he'd have any trouble at all. Well, it's been good talking to you. It's been interesting. I got to get out of here and go downstairs for a while, give me a little something to eat. But, yeah, good evening. And if you hear either me or get me out here again, just give us a shout, Shannon, and we'll be sure and come back to you. N4DJC, I'll be clear after you.
Good talking to you, real interesting as well. And hope you have a great evening, and I'll see if I can run into y'all again. I'm here, AM4EFT.